any, and we will be glad for remote participants to make their presence known in any possible way, possible legal way. So, is that you, Jeff? Who's going to speak for team number one?
No, you're team number two.
That will be Simon McCullough.
Is it working? Okay. DNS has got no hope, has it? We can't even find a switch. We took a look down at the issues of governance, and we were looking at ICANN's roles and responsibilities. So we broke down into what turned out to be about 18 or so different separate tasks, if you like, around how we might go about understanding ICANN's remit responsibilities and how that fitted with security and stability. The first one's a fairly administrative task, really, which is just locating and understanding what has been documented by ICANN. There was some discussion about how far back do we want to look in terms of timeframes, but fundamentally, I think we all agreed, is to try and find the current set of documents and understand what those are. Really, again, just making sure we had all the input from the other various parties, including the GAC and the various other constituencies, was very much part of that task. There was clearly some work discussion about how transparent are those documents and do we have all access to all of those. So there may be some need to understand whether we need to sign some kind of NDAs to get to some of the other inner workings, if you like. I think once we had those documents, we felt the next thing that was important to do was a sort of high-pass breakdown, if you like, or analysis of our understanding of their remit and responsibility. So we saw this in metaphorically as a kind of large sort of spreadsheet or matrix, taking a look and breaking down into those responsibilities. We then felt it was important to sort of capture the advice or requests that have been offered to ICANN from other constituencies. So ICANN obviously comes under pressure from people like the CCNSO and from GAC to answer specific questions. Now, interestingly, we weren't clear as to whether either of those constituencies actually checked to see whether it was ICANN's remit before it asked. So we thought that was an interesting area to look at and understand whether they were being pressured to comment or to get involved in areas that actually wasn't their remit. Then also to capture ICANN-led initiatives that may fall outside the current scope. So ICANN will approach the SSAC or RSAC and say, we need you to do a study into X or Y. The question was, were they doing that directly in line with their remit, or were they doing that because it was something they felt they should be doing? So again, there's a gap analysis there to understand whether they're going beyond their remit or sticking very closely to it. Really, we felt that would then start to give us a feeling for what was the landscape in terms of pressure on ICANN and pressure from ICANN around making comment on security. We then felt locating and understanding the IANA contract was very important. Going through that contract really just to break it down into its key features and take a look at where the risks were in terms of the relationship with IANA. Then also a wider constituency matrix, taking into account the relationship that IANA has with the other constituencies. So is that relationship working well? Are they putting undue pressure on the other constituencies and vice versa? So there was taking a look at that. Then there was a number of specific documents we felt were important to look at, which is the relationship with RSAC, the relationship with SSAC, the GAC, and the RIRs. We felt they merited a document in their own right to take a look and understand how well were those bodies governing their space, was the relationship efficient and was it working well and was it effective? There was also a request to take a look at the policy development process and what effect that had on security and stability, so we felt that was something very much worth looking at. And then once we've got all that analysis, was looping back to that original matrix we had and saying, right, okay, now knowing what we know about all of these various relationships and how they're working, how effective is ICANN being at the tasks that were within its remit? Are there areas for concern? And also, have they had any significant successes and what's working well within that? So again, there's clearly possibly a little bit of an overlap with the implementation side of things there, but we felt we had to go back to that original analysis. Then really, once we've done that, was to document our observations and a sort of first-pass analysis of the gaps that we found. And really to start to consider some remarks about it. I don't think we felt that we were in a place to make recommendations, but certainly in a place to remark upon the gaps that we had seen. There's also, we felt, a list of key individuals that operate within the community, and although they may represent a specific constituency or a specific organisation, they're influential enough in their own right as an individual. So we're talking here people like Steve Crocker, Vince Cerf, obviously folk like Paul Toomey, that there'll be a number of people who would have an interesting comment to make on how well ICANN's doing. And we felt, would we ask the same set of, effectively a survey, so would we ask the same set of questions, or would we start to ask specific directed questions on their expertise? So we felt that was important. There was a discussion as well about Anders raised about sort of a true operational responsibilities of ICANN, which of course is really just running the L route and the relationship with IANA, or what is sort of implied. And so that this, for example, would be, you know, if Nominet, for example, were to make a bad job of running .uk, effectively ICANN can step in and pull the delegation, and therefore becomes operational in nature, effectively. So, or that, but it's an implied responsibility rather than a directly contracted responsibility. So we felt that was important. The last two were just sort of notes to self, really, and thoughts, but really what is the role of the NRO and how does that relate to RSAC? How effectively are the root servers being governed? And then a really big and controversial issue, which we weren't quite sure how deep to go into, which is the US Department of Commerce and increasingly NTIA control over the root zone a threat to stability and security? And there was some reference there to some of the comments made about kill switches and all that good sort of stuff. What does that really mean in terms of a threat to the DNS? So that's our sort of 19 or so major points we captured. The clear next steps for us is to start breaking that down into work packages and understanding who's going to start taking a look at that work, but we haven't quite got that far yet. Are there any questions for anybody on that?
Unless there are pressing questions, I think we should have the three expositions and begin looking for. Unless there are needs for clarification, anybody here? And Jeff.
Okay, and I think some questions do arise based on Sami's description as we go through ours about how to draw some lines on this.
Yes.
Yeah. So I was just looking at that.
Superposition, yes.
Right. So what we tried to do is to, we spent,
bless you,
a fair amount of time actually going through the issues, and Rodney helpfully suggested that we go back and look at the affirmation of commitments, itself, which doesn't really give guidance on the issues, but I did think helped us to go back to starting with the existing security plan that ICANN has as a starting point. And, as indicated in that plan, it really leads you to think about the various relationships and parties that ICANN deals with as a way to organize the issues somewhat. So we ended up with about, I guess, seven categories of issues. First would be ICANN within its own organization, how are security issues addressed, and that we included SSAC, RSAC, the budget process, and the security staff of ICANN. So those would all be things that we would look at and obviously would be part of our information gathering process. Then second category would be those components of the IANA contract where ICANN actually has the direct responsibilities. So while I think we would both be looking at the IANA contract, we'd be looking at it with a narrower where they're actually the responsible party. Third would be the next few categories are where it gets into some questions with the governing, because a lot of this has to do with relationship with contracted parties. What do the contracts say about security? We talked about the challenge of probably having evolving security requirements over time, so you may have a uniformity issue, and then also looking at the back end of enforcement, compliance, verification, all of those types of follow-up issues. The relationships with the non-contracted parties obviously is the really the more complicated part of this, and one way we thought to look at it would be, this is where we really get into the coordination role on security and where things like best practice outreach and training and those types of things would probably be more what we're going to look for recognizing that they don't have direct control. But I think it does get raise the issue of what's the appropriate role and scope as well. So I think there is a governing aspect to that, and we should talk about how to make sure we're not duplicating effort there. The policy development process, we want to look at how security is being incorporated into the policy development process within ICANN. I think the SSR working group probably would be, as that gets kicked off, would be somebody we would want to talk to. And Alejandra, I asked last night, I guess they should have a chair soon, but they did not. They just got the members identified yesterday. The law enforcement cooperation, and this is a complicated area where we thought it would be important to try and identify kind of where is ICANN itself getting requests today from law enforcement, and trying to understand that process. I think our inclination is there may not be that many direct areas where ICANN is, the point of contact for law enforcement. Who is obviously one of those areas, and that's where we thought we should cross-reference that working group and the who is issue without digging into it ourselves. And then finally, we talked about this coordination of responses, and Rodney talked about the Configure working group as really, probably a good illustrative case to take a look at ICANN's role as a coordinator. So that would be, a starting point for looking at kind of an even broader set of relationships and coordination. So with that in mind, those were the issues that we identified, and then we started to put together a list of materials and interviews that we would want to conduct. And I think Bill had a great suggestion that one of the things we should do is just to map out all of the various agreements that ICANN has and these relationships. So Denise is going to help pull that together. I think that'll be probably a good resource for everyone on the team. And then we ticked through some of the other types of things we would want to take a look at, the IANA contract, the various plans. I think we may want to look at the DNS CERT comments in terms of, what people's comments are about how things are working in practice. I think some of that would get into governing issues, though, as well. And then some sample contracts, the root scaling study, and then there's a lessons learned document on the Configure. That seems like a great thing to look at. We started to put together some, and then we've got the interviews identified at a very high level. We didn't spend a lot of time on that yet. We wanted to kind of test the issues and categories first. And then we did start to put together some potential issues where we expect to look at, and I think Bill identified this issue of as you get more parties participating in ICANN, which could proliferate with the new GTLDs, as you put it, you get a higher signal-to-noise ratio. Is that going to make it more complicated and more difficult to have focus on security within ICANN? We've got this kind of major issue identified of really trying to understand how the coordination works between ICANN and all of the non-contracted parties as a big issue, and then just really taking a look at the budget and planning as kind of a key part of the implementation process that we'll want to look at, but within the ICANN itself. So that's where we are. Any questions?
Again, unless there are pressing need for clarification, I would think it's more productive to move to Team 3. That would be Martin Hannigan, please.
So we took the engineer's approach and we cast a wide net across everything we possibly could in ICANN. And we're basically, the approach that we're going to take is fairly simple. We're satisfied with the makeup of the team. We don't have any problems with the organization, and we think that there won't be any issues with calls and whatnot, as we discussed earlier. But what it seems to all boil down to for us is that we'll take a look at contingency plans and compliance and take it from there. I don't have a lot to add. I think that other folks have pretty much covered it. Thanks.
Andrew. I think that the documents must be sent to all the members electronically. If you have the copies there.
Yes, that is correct. I will do that.
Alejandro, I propose that probably the three coordinators sit together and can try probably to clarify the superposition, you and the vice chair too, so that you send us the final version that probably will be the most effective for us.
That is correct, Harold. I think that's a useful approach. I think it's useful right now, first to see. For all of us, and you know, since this is an open meeting for the audience, to look at the documents as a whole. There are some levels of overlap which we should remove. Let's say the same issue treated at the same level with the same angle doesn't have to be in all three teams or not even in two teams. Other issues may look the same by title, but the approach or the layer where they are worked out may be different, and that's the coordinating test. And the most important thing right now for me, I mean, since that's a rather mechanical task, I mean, it's not totally mechanical, but, you know, you have the documents there and you work through them. The crucial part is whether anything is gone missing. So I beg you guys for a moment of thought about what you think is essential, and I'm sure that anything that you thought is essential is in the document from your team. But if you're expecting something from the other teams, look at it and look at the documents from the other teams and make sure it is there. And we are, of course, going through, I mean, while we're doing this, we're reading Martin's team document, right?
So, Alejandro, I think that with respect to our team, we definitely going to need more time to kind of organize. What you're looking at is basically notes on all the discussions that we decided to have, and we need to boil that down and reduce that list. And we thought that it was most effective to just throw everything that we could out there and then back into what we actually need to do. I don't think that we're quite ready to start negotiating items and where they belong in the different review teams. But I guess we could, I don't know, I guess I would look for a suggestion from you as to how to proceed.
Well, let's first make sure everybody has read it, because I mean, all three documents are very good. This one's very extensive because of this approach. Of, you know, making sure you don't miss anything is a good approach. And come back in a minute.
So I guess, Simon, a question would be, how much were you thinking of looking at these non-contracted party relationships? And I'm wondering if we should wait and see what you do in that area first and not focus on that, or does it, you know, in other words, maybe the main question in that area is what is, somebody's got to, we thought the starting point would be to describe the existing relationship on security with ccTLDs and other things as a starting point for assessing whether there's a gap or what it looks like. And I don't know how essential you would view that to the governing, but it seems like we should think about which group should do that.
Yeah.
be sensible. I think we recognise that there was clearly going to be some overlaps with. I think definitely Group 1, Group 2 are going to have quite a lot of overlaps. And what is governance? What is implementation of governance? I think was a concern we had when we were going through it. I think I agree with others, Alejandro. I think that one of the most valuable things we could do straight after lunch is to sit down. Where we've got obvious areas like this, where we've got clear overlap, or even if it's not clear overlap, where a given team needs the output from another given team to be successful and carry on, then that's something I think if we can identify that early on, then we can start to look at phasing and scheduling of the work so that if, for example, Jeff, your team needs something from our team, then we would push that up to the front and get that done so that we can hand that over to you guys. So I feel like that's probably one of the most important things we can do straight after lunch, if that makes sense. Whether we need to do that in the round or whether it's just the team coordinators, I don't mind.
More questions, comments? Jeff, a response to that? Martin, a response to that?
I guess I do have one question with respect to the bullet point related to the IANA. I guess I'm kind of curious as to where the IANA might better fit across the board. So this bullet point says ICANN's performance of IANA functions. And I'm not... Are we reviewing... What exactly would that review is? Are we reviewing... How well the IANA performs, and I guess I don't quite understand how that's related to the review team or any of the review teams.
Does anybody have a comment to that? Otherwise, I haven't. So, Bill Manning.
So, the way the IANA is structured, there are a number of interlocking parties that have to coordinate, and there are, because the process is still manual, there are some scalability issues with how frequently you can interact with the IANA to get something done, particularly in regards to the DNS components of the IANA and the root zone scalability issues. There have been a number of discussions about how automating and improving that function, but those haven't been deployed yet. And with the addition of DNSSEC for the root, there is some additional drag on timeliness, so things get slower. Is that a scalability issue that needs to be concerned? We need to be concerned about or comment on or not? So looking at the processes and looking about the resilience or fragility of that set of processes, I think is certainly within our scope.
But at the same time, I think we have to be careful not to try and define any kind of policy related to the IANA, i.e. that the review kind of infers or implies that, for example, DNSSEC is some sort of immediate requirement. I think that we should probably discuss that more and decide if that's really in scope or out, for example.
Right. I was just from a scalability and stability standpoint, the number of interlocking players is certainly worthy of comment or investigation.
I guess another comment is You know, we, in my view, we are writing, the task here is to advise the ICANN board as directed. So I don't think we should be analyzing or commenting on the structure that ICANN is working within that are, is not within its control. So the IANA contract itself is not an ICANN decision. It's something that the Department of Commerce or NTIA in that proceeding is looking at. And therefore, I think it's beyond our scope to question the structure that may be in place, which is not set by ICANN or within ICANN's control.
So with respect to that, specific point, Bill, in our working group, we decided that it might actually be relevant to look at the process itself and ask ourselves what happens if that process breaks. So, for example, if you can't get the DOC to sign off on a move, add, change, whatnot in the zone file, or VeriSign can't implement it, or VeriSign can't sign off on it, et cetera. You know, whatever, however that process works. I know the three parties are the DOC, VeriSign, and the IANA. But if there's a breakdown there, is there a compliance problem? If there's a breakdown, what's the contingency for the breakdown of an inability, for example, to send email between all three parties because one's under attack and perhaps there's some activity that is trying to manipulate some aspect of a change, for example, that would be more in scope versus how they actually do it, trying to define the process itself or overanalyze and comment.
Right. I mean, a tango with two people is much easier than a tango with six. The Roots scalability study from a year and a half ago actually started to look at some of that. So as a reference document, that's something you should look at.
Any further questions? Well, then I think that we should adjourn this part of the session, go for lunch, try for the coordinators, vice chair, and myself to go through the list rapidly, try to simplify, look at what the overlaps actually are. And as Martin has mentioned, maybe the list still needs some work. But Martin, if you agree, we should work with your longer list now. So we part of the pairing is done in the coordinating team and not handed back to your sub team.
Sure.
I don't think we have any problem with that at all. For other of the members. Good. So, bon appetit.
Merci. I would just mention Bill was actually looking at the NTIA comment document and noticed that it has great links in that to process flows for IANA, all the contracts and things like that. So maybe that's something we can put on the wiki, Alice. So good reference document. Thanks.